And Tuafale Tanoa'i, aka Linda T, is a Samoan artist who makes documentaries using video, photography and DJing to share community stories. If you walk into one of her exhibitions, you might actually find yourself being interviewed on video for her next project. She is the Pacific Artist in Residence at the University of Canterbury, and she's in today for Bookmarks in our Christchurch studio. Hello there.
Talofa.
Kia ora. Talofa lava. Kia ora. Nice to meet you. Now, should we get the name thing sorted first? When do you prefer to use each name?
When do I prefer? I always prefer my real name, which is Tuafale Tanoa'i, but spent way too long using Linda, and then tried to reclaim it, which ended up becoming Linda T, and I've been jammed with that for most of my life.
Uh-huh. As an artist, people know you as Linda T?
As an artist, yes.
And if people want to check out your... I was going to point them to lynda.art, although I just see that that website's not running. Have I got the wrong website address there?
lyndat.art is
lyndat.art.
The website.
lyndat.art, okay. If they go there, they'll see... Oh, there you are. They'll see a photo of a T-shirt called Chasing Chaka with a bunch of musical artists on it. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
So that was a project created last year and lived... 3 months to organise, 37 years to decide how I was going to do it, thanks Mum and Dad.
Yeah.
They basically bankrolled it. So, yes, went to New Orleans to catch Queen Latifah, actually.
What?
And who ended up being there was Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, Janet Jackson, Mary J. Blige, and a ton of other musicians. Yeah, The Roots, Missy Elliott, Escape, MC Light. Tons. So, yeah, that was kind of a dream come true, but the mission was to drag one of my best friends around America to see Chaka Khan. And we ended up doing that over a month, getting to Chaka Khan via George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. We caught Janelle Monáe, which was amazing, Lauryn Hill and Chaka Khan in Chicago. So a month on the road and
yeah,
it was kind of a muso, female muso vocal trip. Dream come true for some of us.
Was it interesting for you travelling? I presume you did a bit of travelling through the American South.
I found the whole thing quite problematic because, one, apparently I don't know how to go on holiday, and two, I don't know
that's
concert
an artist
etiquette.
That's an artist's problem, isn't it, not being able to go on holiday?
Yeah, I think it's not common that we take breaks from making art-related projects happen because, it's problematic that we don't have budgets that can that we can survive on, you know, regularly. So
what a trip this was.
It was an amazing trip.
What did you get out of seeing these, what I presume were some real heroes, live in performance?
What did I get out of it? I'm still trying to work that out, but came back with a range of data. And because I was thinking, what do we take home to the many that wanted to attend, to come with us? And basically I thought, well, I'll record as much as I can. And so I'm still working on the public sort of edit, I suppose, a year later. Actually, we did it July last year, so it's nearly a year since living that adventure.
It's hard for an artist to talk about their own art, but can you do your best to tell us what you do in terms of video and documentary making?
Oh, okay. So I call myself a performance video installation artist. Now, I still used that old phrase video because, I mean, my exhibition I'm part of a group show presently at Pātaka in Porirua, and I'm using a VHS machine. So I've been part of the 60s, 70s.
What?
Children, people raised around VHS video cassettes and, you know, like CDs was such a brand new thing, you know, from records. So I still use old equipment. analog gear, because like I've kind of been raised knowing that if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and it's kind of been something that I've. It's always been a go-to because I know, yeah, so long as it's got power, it'll work, unlike computers and software and, you know, yeah, so.
Distrusted digital.
Well, yes and no, but I've seen, I mean, went to university and noticed a whole heap of problematic things happen because everyone depended on the machine, and you can test it, and then 5 minutes go to air, like, you know, be in, standing in front of hundreds of people, giving a lecture, and then you press a button and it doesn't work, and yet 5 minutes before when you tested it, it worked, whereas you know, so I saw that happen way too many times, and I thought, I don't want to be one of those adults that you know, depends on needing to share images and whatever short stories, and then your technology, you know, sort of embarrasses you. So I've embedded a range of old school and new school technology into my exhibitions.
And you, so, don't, you don't lust after the high definition video?
No, I don't. And no, I don't. And lots of people are, I think, are grateful for that. We now don't need to see the real, you know, intensely every pore on your face kind of stuff, you know.
In my opinion. Some of us look better in low res, you reckon?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely do. So, because I'm not someone who wears makeup and lipstick, and I'm not that sort of a person. So, happy to be low res always.
Now, you were based in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. Yes. In fact, you got your master's from AUT, but you're in Christchurch at the moment. How did you end up there?
So, it's a 3 month, I applied for a residency, a Pacific residency, and it's a three-month wonderful adventure here in Christchurch, Ōtautahi, based at UC, which is the University of Canterbury, and it's called the Macmillan Brown Residency, and it's amazing. Well, I'm finding it. The library is just wonderful.
Yeah. What, how does a residency work for those of us who have never and will never get one?
Oh, so basically you apply, and there's a team of people down here that, well, I'm not sure if they're all based here, but there's a team of people who decide out of the many who will apply every year. Yeah, it's quite a, it's a real good CNZ supported residency because it pays really well in my mind. Yeah, well, it's the biggest artist pay packet I've ever received. Anyway.
Great.
So really happy to be sharing the resources with local artists and local communities here in Ōtautahi, in Christchurch.
Now, according to your website, which is linked back to back from our page, rnz.co.nz/Jesse, if people want to have a look, it's sometimes the easiest way, is, now it says that koha.
Gifting.
Now let me get this right, because you've put it really beautifully somewhere and I've lost it here. But you work on a koha system, which means that you are often gifted money to do your work, but you often also gift it back to the communities with which you engage. Do I have that right?
It's more the work that gets developed gets gifted back. So if you, for instance, I'm about to record a range of people in this community, in these communities in Ōtautahi, and eventually they'll get a version of their raw footage as well as a final cut for the edit mix that I create that will end up in public space in the future. So, yeah, the koha is actually about they gift time. I'll gift them back the work that they helped create.
Okay.
You know, it's not like I'm not set up like the TVNZ team where every piece of footage that they that their team records, you have to pay for just to view.
And, right.
You know, you can't get it, although it could be your parents or your relations that are that have been recorded. So you don't have that kind of access, whereas I'm the opposite. I will happily share that with whoever.
Let's talk about some of the things that have influenced you, and shall we bookend it with a song? So I think you're going to, you mentioned some absolute queens that you managed to see in the US. Didn't catch Aretha Franklin, but tell us about her significance to you.
Okay, so I've always called her Auntie.
Yeah.
And ever since the 60s, since I first heard her. And the song that I chose to play during the session is probably my favourite track of hers. I can't remember if it was a 60s album or early 70s, but that particular track is something that's world famous in Aotearoa in the Pacific. It's a party song, and I was super chuffed to come across it in the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm, the album is You by Aretha Franklin, yeah. Should we get a bit of it on? It's called It Only Happens. Beautiful, Aretha Franklin, chosen by our bookmarks guest, Tuafale Tanoa'i, who is Pacific artist in residence at University of Canterbury at the moment, doing all sorts of interesting things. We'll talk some more about some of the projects you were involved in, but I'm keen to hear about some of your influences, and a good time to be talking about Merata Mita. Have you seen the new film celebrating her work?
Yes, four times so far.
Four really?
Or five, I think. Yeah. Well, every time I go back to view and take new people who I feel must see it, I get a lot more, another layer of wonderfulness. So, yeah, I can see myself watching that often.
And yet I could be wrong here, but I don't feel that she's a household name in New Zealand. Can you tell people why she was special and what she did?
Okay, so, famous for being the first Indigenous woman in the world to create a feature film, and that was in the late 80s. But she also, if you Google her name and look at the work, she could actually map a lot of her works, could actually map a lot of brilliant education for everyone in the Pacific, but mm-hmm. especially Aotearoa New Zealand. I mean, she did things like Patu, Bastion Point, Day 507, did a range of, she mentored a ton of filmmakers.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention any names because I'll forget lots
of them. Well, I know of Cliff Curtis and Taika Waititi have both mentioned her in glowing terms. Did you have a personal connection with her?
Well, we did a road trip once, and never forget it because when I was asked to attend a workshop to film because she was running it, I was super thrilled because lots of people wanted to spend time around her. And she's like super busy. Our version of the nearest thing I know is I saw her as a filmmaker who was our superhero, and very few people knew about it unless you knew her. So she was someone that inspired in several ways, a range of communities, a range of writers, filmmakers, artists. Yeah, I mean, the list was humongous. And I really enjoyed Cliff Curtis talking to one of your colleagues about Merita's the documentary on Merita, and the way he framed, he thought he was really special being around her, and then he realised, as he spent more time around her and other people around the world, he realised that he wasn't special. And I thought, yeah. So, you know, I mean, she was this woman who worked this magic space, and if you were around her, and you know, in terms of she was running a workshop, you could, there was this thing that happened in terms of it was obvious that you were amongst someone who was at least wise, and at least someone that you wanted, you know, that we would all learn from her.
Interestingly, you are not sure that she wanted to lead, to be a leader.
No, well, I would ask her several intimate questions, being, like she said to me once during our road trip, she goes, she doesn't understand why some people find her threatening. And I'm like, oh, I gave her my version of why I thought people in the industry saw her as a threat. And I just thought they didn't have her skills. They didn't have her humility, her brilliance, and the way she can make you feel, well, for me, I was more than a fan. I was someone who looked up to her in lots of ways. But she was someone who could, she was like a walking healer. Yeah, so she could do a range of things that normal filmmakers couldn't do. So she had instant respect from different communities because of how she was. So raised by her grandparents, you know, and there were certain things she couldn't do because she was raised by her grandparents. And I thought, wow, that's a lesson that lots of us need to think about, in terms of we're taught to be nice to everybody, you know, even if they're your enemy, kind of stuff. You know, you're taught to be nice, you're taught to be a certain way amongst people, and she was at least all of that. She was amazing. She was amazing.
Yeah, there's another name here, Ava DuVernay.
Yeah, so she's someone that didn't know about Merita, and yet it's her company, Array, that has taken on board her, what do you call it, when you help?
Distribution?
Distribution, yeah. When you distribute that and make sure that it ends up being seen. So she's that brilliant person. So, but everything she's made so far is totally, it's sitting in the, for me, it's sitting in the education zone, and that's where I see my work sitting also. But yeah, I'm like a new, I suppose she's like the closest thing to, she's someone that I hope to meet in the future.
Great. Yeah. We're going to play another song for you now, Pata Pata by Miriam Makeba. Can you give us a bit of an intro for this one?
Okay, so Miriam Makeba, politically, she got thrown out of South Africa, out of her native state, due to her music and due to her being an activist. And she basically died recently supporting another African activist on a stage, or, you know, she'd done her performance and then came off the stage and passed. And I just think she's another one of my heroes.
Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
I'm into it. I really enjoyed that one. Tuafale Tanoai, who is our guest today on Bookmarks. She's talking about some of the people and artistic works that have influenced her. You've got some research projects on the way. Is that right, Tuafale?
Yes, I do. Researching a project that the art collector that I'm part of, we're called Dance Art Club. And we've been chosen to be part of the team of artists that attend FESPAC Hawaii next year in June. And I had no idea that like more than 100 projects, local projects applied. And I think only, 20-ish got chosen, maybe less, maybe a little bit more. I was like super thrilled that we got chosen. But then I realised, oh my gosh, it's a project called Podcasting. With us, so it's...
Will they let you use C90 cassette tapes, do you think?
There probably isn't enough around for what we intend to do, but anyway, I've got a Zoom, we're going digital.
Great.
It's really exciting. And
watch out, Tuafale, you might get a taste for it. You might be this is quite handy.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to looking at the podcast picks that have just been posted that you were talking about earlier. That'll be part of my research.
Oh, yeah, Katie's.
Just talking about, yeah,
I know.
Katie's.
They are really, really good. And every time I have a conversation with her, I think I must listen to that one. Then you never end up getting time. But
That's it. That's our lives. That's what I've noticed about our lives in recent times is everyone I know is super, super busy.
Mm.
So being thankful for anyone's company at any time is really important.
You spend some time on stage as part of your performance work.
Yes, I have a stage built or created, and I try and entice people that turn up to my installations, because my short stories, they range from maybe 5 minutes to 40. So if you were to, like I've watched while I was sitting on my stage, on my couch, I've watched people turn up to get my gallery space and they would go from one screen to another. I mean, at Pātaka, there's 6 screens. Mm. And so to go through every single screen, every single work, it takes between 2 and 3 hours. You know, so if someone's going to invest that much time viewing all my works that I'm sharing, then, you know, for me to ask them to come join me on stage so that they end up on one of the screens in the future is quite a simple thing to do, especially if they're shy, you know, because everyone's got stories.
Hey, here's a tricky question, but do your best to answer it. What are you trying to capture in the interviews you do and the footage that you take?
Well, just real stories, true stories, issues. People normally bring up issues. They talk about, they give me reflections of other people that they've seen in my works that they've just viewed. People always link back to Merita, Barry Barclay, and the people that they've viewed. And they talk about the issues of the 80s, you know, the stuff that affected them, being part of the Patu film or being part of the that time in New Zealand where people were marching and sticking up for whatever.
Mm. You want to make sure that people's experiences and memories and feelings aren't forgotten, is that?
More than that. It's my work because, it sits in archive, in the archive area, but sharing stories has always been something people have done ever since people were created. So, you know, for me, it's a lot more than that. For me, it's educative. For me, it's really sad and can be really joyful. And, you know, it can be the gamut of feelings, you know, like watching movies, all of that.
When I suppose anyone can press record. So
yes.
When do you feel that your skill or intuition as an artist comes to the fore in the process?
Gee, that's a hard question.
Shucks, well, I'm paid to ask hard questions.
Good on you, Jess. Let me think of it. No, that's too hard for me. I don't know. I don't know.
Is it choosing what to include? Is it the context of what you put next to them on a videotape?
It's a range of things. So, I mean, what I'm building presently for the physics room exhibition, which is going to happen around the 10th of July here in Ōtautahi Christchurch. What I intend to do is womanise and indigenise my screens. And I was talking to a local community worker earlier this week, and she says, oh, my God, that would so be awesome to see. Just me talking about it and what I envisaged, she got super excited, and she's the person who's helping me to approach the local people I intend to film, local woman that I intend to film. So yeah, so exciting. It's all exciting.
Tell me about Maya Angelou.
So she's someone that I credit with getting me into reading books after I left school and felt the confused young adult wondering what I should be doing other than following my friends around who were very politically active. Because I had a camera in my hand and I was already a DJ, so I already had two jobs. But I wanted something for me, and Maya Angelou, coming across her When a Caged Bird Sings, the first of her autobiographies, when I came across that and then read the rest of her life story, I just thought, wow, reading books, I mean, I love it.
So, can you tell us a bit about, did you read her autobiography?
Yeah, she did a range of books. I think the first one was released in the early 70s, but she's way famous for being a poet as well. So she is someone that was a singer, dancer, performer, writer, more famous for her writing, I suppose, now, because she had a hard life, but I liked how she was determined to write, would book a room, the same room, for ages, to, you know, determined to write her pieces that ended up being published. So, but yeah, she was around famous people like, I shouldn't even mention names. Anyway, famous people in America.
Did you want to read us one of her poems, or a bit of one of her poems?
No, but people can Google that stuff. I mean, all the names that the people that I'm interested in, they're like all over the internet if you were to just put it in there. So, yeah, no, I don't have a favourite poem of hers.
Do you respond to poetry as an artist yourself who works in a different medium?
Yes, I'm about to approach two local poets here to be part of the show that I intend to have happen before I leave this neighbourhood. So 27th of July is when I hope to put on an event where I will DJ. Janine Clarkin will come down from Auckland and create a wonderful fashion show. And I'm
Say hi to Janine. I'm going to know her from the Hamilton days.
Oh, gosh, this world's so small.
Yeah, man. She made me a very 1990s pair of pants once. Man, I wish I'd kept those.
I wear her jackets. I wear her blanket jackets. So, yeah. And they're my favourite present at the moment.
Wow, okay.
So she's coming down to do that, and I'm going to approach a couple of poets that are local, and that are amazing. So, and I just thought, what a cool thing to be doing the week that I leave.
Mm.
You know, so it just got changed a few days ago, so I was quite disappointed. Then I thought, nah, this can work.
Great.
You know, so yeah, looking forward to that.
I was thinking we should get some Chaka Khan on, seeing we mentioned it right at the top of the interview.
Chaka Khan.
Was it all that you dreamed of when you finally saw her?
Oh, well, just singing along with a crowd that knew the lyrics to her songs was just so good. And, like, you know, didn't have to be in the front. They had big screens. Yeah, it was wonderful meeting her.
You met her?
Well, I shouldn't say that, actually.
I wanted to leave that for the film.
Yeah, seeing her in the flesh. So,
Did you meet her?
Oh,
you can't do an interview then keep secrets, buddy.
Oh, yeah, you can. You can totally keep secrets. People can keep secrets. Yes,
right,
me and my best friend did.
Really?
But, yep, play that song because that's like an awesome track.
Okay, this is called Like Sugar.
Thank you.
Can I say to Afale, great choice of tracks today. I can see why you're a DJ.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love that track. It's got a sample of The Bus Stop by the Fatback Band, which my art collective and I used a few years ago for a local documentary, and we asked permission for that song, The Bus Stop. And it's also a dance that some of us created at AGS, Auckland Girls Grammar School, and it like spread around the country fairly quickly. It was pretty, yeah, and people still do it today. So
how do you do the dance?
The dance, Google it, you'll find it. Zealand version's pretty easy.
I think this should be a maximum number of times in an interview that you can reply, Google it.
True.
Give us a bit of an idea.
Well,
is that with your arms or your legs?
No, it's your feet, it's your body. It's something really simple. It's like two steps to the left, two steps to the right, or right, left, and then you swivel back a couple of steps, you rock and turn, and then you do it all again. The double dutch.
Google would never have done that for me.
Oh, well, you know, there's lots of samples of it online.
That? What would we Google, by the way, to see that move?
What, the bus stop?
Is that what the name of the dance is?
Yeah, it's also a track by the Fatback Band.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bus stop.
How was that percussion in that song, by the way? What was going on there?
Oh, just, you know, she's a queen. Queen of funk. You can't go past Chukka in her realm. But what I'm excited about is my favourite local band, Adija, has just released a new song too. It just dropped on Friday.
Okay, I'm going to play that.
Oh, yes, please.
Let's order it. Let's play it after three, if we
can.
Yay! I'll see if I can find it.
Thanks, Jess,
you got a health project going on at the moment.
A health project? Yes, I do. I've just stopped smoking, but the health project's been something that I've been working on for a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yep, it's been 9 days, and it hasn't been too excruciating at the moment.
Great.
I've been trying to walk.
So I did the patch when I gave up smoking.
I like doing cold turkey.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mentally, well, I've got patches. I've got access to patches and access to chewing gum, you know. But it's taken me years and years of prep to get to this point. Like, I know I have to not drink alcohol, you know, because So because friends and I decided 9 days ago that we were going to do this seriously, I went, oh, I'm not ready to give up alcohol yet, but it's been okay. It's been okay. So
I'm really pleased to hear it. 9 days, you've broken the back of it, eh?
Well, not every day is a hardship, so I'll just keep focused on my art projects and making sure that people around me are super cool. And that we move forward with everything, because there's a lot happening in our world, in our Pacific space. And there's, we got to, like, look after each other and, you know, do some cool things together.
So are you, I'm just trying to understand, are you doing a project about the realities of giving up smoking?
Well, no, the addition of this non-smoking thing is new. I gained weight at 25. I noticed that some of the people I cared about immensely, 25. I was, I'm 40, I'm 56 now. So 20 whatever years ago, some of my cousins, people that I cared about, we all left school and some of us stopped playing sports. And we basically ballooned. So because of the ballooning, I decided, right, I'm going to double my weight and then I'm going to take some of the cuzzies for some exercise and we'll lose it together. Anyway, that, you know, 30 years on, I'm still doing that project. So, but I'm doing it.
Has it been interesting?
It's been amazing that different people follow my progress on Facebook. And, yeah, I mean, it's like anything, you know, when you're trying to lose weight, it takes a lot of focus and it takes a lot of time and a lot of support. So, you know, and good food. You know, this country, that's what I noticed about being a month in America last year. I came back to the Pacific and thought, thank God, we've got wonderful food in the Pacific.
Mm.
And I felt sorry for all the cuzzy bros in America because their food is not like ours. I shouldn't say that in public.
Hey, anyway, that's us. How'd you enjoy the interview?
Enjoyable, yeah. It was all good.
Yeah, cool. I really enjoyed meeting you as well. Tuafale Tanoa'i.
I love how you say my name. Thank you very much.
I get better each time. That's why I'm saying it so often. Thanks for coming in. And she's the Pacific Artist in Residence at University of Canterbury and up to all sorts of things.